This is a Mont Bold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
And then to feel like you are seen, then you are loved, and you are accepted is an extraordinarily rare thing in humanity. Because there is so much noise in our world that says you must be something, you must perform at a level, you must. Or we have our internal dialogue going, you're not good enough, you're not worthy, you're not acceptable, you're not this, you know what you have done, and the enemy keeps on keeping you trapped and broken in that place because he wants you to stay stuck, whereas Jesus hung on a cross and said, I did this for you, it is for freedom he came so you can experience love. Second Timothy chapter 1 verse 7 says this. Where's those glasses things? I need them. So the New Living Translation says it this way. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. The Passion Translation says it this way. For God will never give you a spirit of fear, but the Holy Spirit who gives you great power, love, and self-control. So never be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Can I have the first slide up of that of our PowerPoint where I landed my message on last week? I don't know about you, but this is my heart's cry at the moment. Every day I am crying out to God and saying this, explore me, O God, and know the real me. Dig deeply and discover who I am and put me to the test and watch how I handle the strain. It's quite a challenge. Examine me. To see if there is any evil bone in me and guide me in your path forever. And nothing in my heart as I cry out for this is like, oh God, in fear and going, oh God's going to show me something that I'm not going to like. Because the heart of the Father is, I want to show you stuff that is robbing you of experiencing me and experiencing my radical love. But I can tell you right now, sometimes that is painful. I am not saying it's not pain-free. Because as I said last week, sometimes the greatest battle for us as Christians is that we have to unlearn what we have learnt. One of the most painful parts of our journey sometimes is the thing that we have perceived to be true, we've built things on, actually exposed to be lies, and all of a sudden I have to make an adjustment. Did you know, church, did you know that the Father really loves to hang out with you? And he doesn't want it because he wants you to do anything. Except one thing, to receive his love. I was listening to a message this week from Francis Chan, and he started out this message going, where he's standing, which is where I'm standing right now, is actually the most dangerous place. Because there is a part of me as a preacher that when I pick this up and I am up here, there is this pull to perform. Because I know humanity, I know myself. When I'm sitting where you are, I'm judging everything he says or she says. Is he on song today? Oh, that was a good word. Don't know whether I agree with that. He's reading a different Bible than I am. I don't think he spent enough time with Jesus this week. I just don't like what he says. And for me, I can be up here and I can be saying all these things going, gee, I hope they like what I say. I hope I get it right. I hope I represent Jesus properly. I hope I say it in a way that God understands, that you understand. And I put on my little performance posing thing. I don't want to do that today and I don't want to do it. Because I didn't say yes to God to be a preacher. I said yes to God to be his son. And you get to be his daughter or son. And I'm going to get it wrong sometimes. But is the desire of my heart to be known by him, so I can make him known to those around me? I said to my wife this morning, she gets used in sermon illustrations a lot, but I just rolled over and said, you know, we've been married for nearly 24 years. I just love waking up next to her. I love just being with her. And I said to her this morning, and I know she'll keep me accountable on this because that needs to happen. As I've mentioned before, like most people in the Western world, I've got an addiction to this thing. And too often I sit on the couch next to my wife and I'm looking at this rather than being present with her. I'm too busy trying to find a funny video to show her rather than just being with her. And you know what it is? Jesus wants to be exactly the same with us. This might sound really bad in a church because churches are notorious for going, you walk through the door, you stay here for about 5 minutes and we'll find a job for you. Because to love God is to serve him. You got to do something. You got to prove to me that you're a Christian because you're serving in the church. I'm not saying the service is bad, But if we're serving it to get our approval, if we're serving to get him to love us, if we're serving out of some need to be needed, where actually the motivation is all wrong. The Father would much prefer that we just sit with him, worship him, ask him to teach us, ask him to father us. Because nowhere in Scripture does it say, you go and get your theology right and you'll be okay with God. No, he says, out of the heart the mouth speaks, and I want to take that heart, and I want to take that heart of stone, and I want to take that out, and I want to replace it with my heart. Where we are known, where we are loved, where we are accepted. Jasmine walks through the door, I see her, I come down off the platform, I go, she sees me and she goes, imagine if we were like that with Jesus. Imagine his love for us was so much that we just run and go, Dad, I get to spend time with you. And then what it says, if you read through 1 John, can I have the 1 John passage up, please? I think it's in this one. Is it this one? No. Can you go to the 1 John 4 one, please? Yeah, that's it. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more patient. So we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus. Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is out of fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. We love each other because he loved us first. I'm sorry to break it to you, but as humans, we're not very good at loving each other. And it's because we don't first fill up on his love. What is the greatest commandment? Oh, that's beautiful, Ev. Looks like a little dove there. The greatest commandment, what did Jesus say? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and with all of your strength. And then love your neighbor as you love yourself. And I know I've said that before. That means that I can only love the person next to me to the capacity that I believe I'm worthy of love myself. But why did Jesus say it this way? Love him first, so that then do those things. Because he knows that if we are completely immersed in him, we can love others. If I am not fully loved and secure in that, I am looking for my wife or my friends to fill that hole. If I am expecting Michelle to be fill every single need I have as a human being, not only am I setting up myself for failure, but I'm setting her up for failure too. If I'm here as a pastor leading a church, because I need you to be able to, your affirmation, I'm the wrong bloke for the job. And that's me putting my hand up saying, sometimes I've been that guy. If you as a congregation need me to affirm stuff and be those things, then you're putting a pressure on me to be someone I'm not meant to be for you. It's meant to be in him. In him. And then this is the training ground. We are meant to learn how to love one another. Care for one another. Challenge one another. Grow one another. but it comes out of our knowing Him. When we know Him and we're filled with Him out of the overflow of our heart, we will be able to love each other in radical ways. So when it says it's all about Him, correct. It's not whether we have the best worship team. It's not whether we have the best children's ministry. It's not whether we've got all of those things. Are we coming to meet with Him together? And church, dare I say that if we come as a passionate people to meet with Him, He will do something in us that will actually make us a radical voice to our community. Because if I get a breakthrough in my relationship with Jesus, it's not just for me. It's for me to then share with Deb. And hopefully it encourages her faith, and it may even lead to a breakthrough in Deb's life so that she can share it with Pam. And then Pam gets a breakthrough in her life and she shares it with Jen. And Jen gets a breakthrough and shares it with Chris, and likewise. And then we meet someone on the street one day who's really struggling with life, who has got an addiction issue or is locked up in stuff, and we can put our arm around them and go, you know what, I've got an answer for you. And it's not silver and gold, but it's Jesus. Does that sound familiar, like Stephen and Peter when they walked past the Gate Beautiful and they saw the guy who was begging? Not an unusual thing. He would have been put there every single day. But this day they walk past and God goes, today, and they go, silver and gold I don't have, but in the name of Jesus, walk. And he walks. There's a reason why I bought these, and thanks, Maria, for bringing these sunflowers in. I know there's a couple of people in this room that sunflowers are your favourite flowers, and I'm glad you asked permission from them to be able to pick them. If you haven't seen the field of sunflowers down at, it's not Tesla's, it's Fleming's, that's the one. Go and see it. But you know the amazing thing about these flowers? Have you ever seen them, what they do? They come up in the morning in the east and they set in the west. They follow the sun. There's your word for today. There's your take home for today. Will you be a people? Will you be a son and daughter that does one thing and does? You've moved. Where have you moved? Because I can tell you, church, if you do that, Christ in you, the hope of glory, will leak out and you will have a magnificent life. If you have addiction issues in your life, if you have brokenness that areas of your lives that do not, when you allow the Son of God to be there and you follow Him step by step, those things lose their power, they lose their impotence, and those things faster than you can ever do it if you went through a 12-step program. Doesn't mean we don't need counseling, doesn't mean we don't need each other to help each other on the journey, we do. But I can tell you, friends, that the most powerful thing you can do is invite Christ into the midst of your circumstances. I can tell you, in the midst of my greatest addiction, I tried everything to overcome it. When I surrendered it to Jesus, He healed my core need for it and restored my marriage in the process. Because He met the need that I was filling with the addiction. If you have an anger issue in your life, invite Jesus into your anger and ask Him to show you where it's coming from. He's not scared of it. He's not scared of your sin. He's already defeated it on the cross. If you're struggling with loneliness, if you're struggling with disconnection, if you're struggling with whatever it is, if you're the most happiest and joyful person in the world, you can have Jesus in the midst of every emotion, both positive and negative, that you feel. Because as Christians and followers of Jesus, we are to do one thing, and it's follow the Son. That verse that I read so regularly out of John chapter 17. It's amazing my Bible doesn't just flip there. Jesus prays, I'm praying for these disciples and also those who will believe in me because of their message. I pray they will be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, I am in you. And may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. Friends, if you're looking for your identity, your acceptance, your worth in any place other than Jesus, you're looking in the wrong place. Because in Him is fullness of joy, in Him is fullness of life, in Him is pure love, in Him is hope. Anything that we are trying to get our worth out of outside of Him will become an idol in our lives. And it says, when we live in Him, we have freedom. Christ came to set you free. John 8:36 says, who the Son sets free is free indeed. That was the beautiful thing about Jason when I met him yesterday. He said, I've never felt so free in all of my life. And I can't help telling others about it. So like me, will you join us in saying, God, will you search me? Will you show me any area of my life that I am not fully healed in? Where I am looking for my identity outside of you? Will you show me? Not because you want to punish me, because you want me to be free.
Thanks for listening, and please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.